Between its time as a plantation and as a park, Audubon was the site for the 1884 World Cotton Centennial and Exposition. It was like a World's Fair, and it was designed to tell the country that the Civil War and everything it stood for was behind us, Reconstruction was over, and the South was back and ready for industry. At the same time, it commemorated something that was very much of the Old South, cotton cultivation. There was a huge central hall and lots of smaller pavilions, and countries and states and companies showed off their goods and inventions and cultures. The fair failed to attract the kind of attention or money its organizers hoped for, but it still has some major traces today. The Mexican delegation included a military brass band that took the city by storm and created a craze for Mexican sheet music, a fashion that gets some credit for nudging local musical culture toward the jazz sound. A chunk of iron ore from the Alabama exhibit is still standing in the middle of the park's golf course, and weirdest of all, a gift given out by the Japanese delegation is now all over the region, the water hyacinth, an invasive and aggressive aquatic plant, which, just a few years later, was already choking out native plants, killing off fish, and even blocking ships from Louisiana to Florida. The problem got so serious that a Louisiana congressman wrote a bill proposing to introduce a predator, wild hippopotamuses. The idea was that they could solve two problems at once, the excess of water hyacinths and the shortage of meat in the U.S. at the time, if you could get Americans used to eating hippo. A promoter even tried branding hippo meat as Lake Cow Bacon. Despite some moments of optimism, the bill didn't pass. If you decide to explore the park, I'd suggest going in from the front and then around to the left. The designer, John Charles Olmsted, also known for New York Central Park, put in a lagoon on that side, and an island in the lagoon has become a stopover for all kinds of migratory birds during some parts of the year. At its far left edge, the park is bordered by a path called Exposition Boulevard. It used to be a wide road. Now it's a sidewalk that gets a street name and has interesting houses facing onto it. And toward the far end of the park, near Magazine Street, you can see an oak alley left over from the old Fouché Plantation. Magazine Street is the edge of the park, although Audubon's property continues on the other side with the Audubon Zoo, a riverfront park called The Fly, and off to the left side of the zoo, a remarkable live oak known as the Tree of Life. If you keep riding the streetcar beyond Audubon Park, you'll be making your way into another of the small cities the streetcar once connected, this one called Carrollton, and founded in 1833. You'll know you're there because the streetcar will turn off St. Charles onto Carrollton Avenue. Eventually, the streetcar line ends on Carrollton, in an area more known for strip malls than local color, but there are a few things worth knowing about on the way. Right by that turn is Camellia Grill, a locally famous dive diner, plus plenty of other restaurants of various kinds, the most local probably being one called Boucherie. Otherwise, the main attraction of the Carrollton area is Oak Street, which runs perpendicular to Carrollton Avenue. The stretch near the streetcar begins with a coffee shop called Rue de la Course, then continues to the Maple Leaf, a favorite local music venue known especially for funk bands, and Giacomo's, a bright-colored and culinarily creative Creole restaurant right next door. If you like, Tulane and Loyola's campuses can also be worth exploring. They each have a main quad right by St. Charles and a student union a little further in. However you decide to explore the area, we hope you've enjoyed the scenery and stories on the way. Check out our website for more ideas, articles, and tour options. Thank you for listening, and please visit us again soon.